Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Boselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank.
Bring me some chocolate pudding.
Jaguars Monday starts right now.
Welcome into Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli in Jacksonville, Pete Prisco on the line from CBS Sports Studios in Fort Lauderdale. After the Jags fall 51-17 in New England in Week 3. Reaction coming up. Plenty to get to. What's up, Tony? How are you?
Boy, it's going to be fun tonight. Oh. The calls are going to be good.
Oh, they should be. Yeah, this should be entertaining, Pete, tonight, I think, right?
I think it's going to be lively. I mean, I did the unthinkable today and jumped on the message board over there to see what because I wanted to see what the mood of town was, because I wasn't there today. And I saw a couple calling for Gus's head. I saw, you know, Dave's head. Bortles was a bust, and on it went. And it was vintage overreaction, not unlike what I'm hearing on the radio down here in South Florida with the Miami Dolphins. I mean, they were awful yesterday, too, and they're getting lit up as well. So not a good – and Tampa lost, too, so not a very good day for the pro sports team, pro NFL teams in the state of Florida.
No, it was a bad day. Bad day up in New England. We got front row seats to – I don't know how you don't argue the greatest quarterback to play the game, or at least in the conversation as the guy who plays the game as well as anybody, especially after 16 years. None of the greats that I can think of, I guess Brett Favre would be the closest, played at this level at in their 16th year. I mean, Pete, can you think of anyone?
Well, I mean, Peyton was playing at this level for in his 16th year.
What year is this for Peyton?
Well, he came in 99, so...
This is his 16th year, I believe. I think they came in the same year.
No, Brady came in... Is it the same year? I don't think it was the same year.
I thought Peyton had a year on him or so.
Yeah. And he threw 39 touchdown passes last year, so it's close to it. But, yeah, I get your point, Tony.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it's
it looks like Peyton's near the end.
Right.
And it doesn't
Brady looks
look
like he
Brady,
can still play.
Yeah, it doesn't look like he's at the end. It looks like
it's incredible. And you know what? They could play that game 10 times, and New England would have blown them out 10 times. And that's the reality of where the Jaguars are right now. They're not good enough.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I'd agree if they blow them out 10
times. Of course you're
times.
Not going to agree
but,
with me.
No, here's why, Pete. One of the worst passes of the entire NFL weekend happened with under 2 minutes left in the game in the first half, with the Jaguars in Patriot territory with a very good opportunity to at least kick a field goal and make it a one-possession game going into the second half. If you
come on, Tony, you're great.
No, I'm just saying. No,
here.
Am I wrong, Pete?
No, you're not wrong. But did they ever stop?
No. I don't think they win the game, Pete. You're missing my point.
What's your point?
But I think it changes the attitude of going into the second half, where it's a one possession game. I thought they came out deflated in the second half. The feeling I got coming out in the second half was, we're down, 20-3. Here we go. They get the ball first. That was just maybe that's not fair to the team. But that, sitting in the booth, that's the feeling I got. Maybe that was just my feeling, and I'm projecting it on the team. But if they go down and score, and it's 13-6 or 13-10 going into the second half, I'm not saying they win. I'm not kidding anybody. They never stopped them, so they're not going to win if you don't get one stop. But I think the game turns out different. They still lose, but I think you feel a little bit better today because I don't think it's 51-17.
Okay, then it's 44-17 or 44-20.
Okay.
But it's still bad. I mean, I don't know. They just – the injuries have really, to me, have really started to matter. And they always matter, but they're just piling on top of one another. And when you're a young team and you don't have a lot of depth – and I'm not making excuses because they were terrible yesterday you're not going to win games. And particularly against good teams on the road and coming off a victory – it's just it was a bad combination all the way around. And you know what, Tony? They have a lot of work to do.
Have a lot of work to do. And I guess that's my point, Pete. It would be a different feeling if we're sitting here today and Blake played well and you still lost 40 – you still gave up 51 points, but you scored 28. It's a different feeling. That's all I'm saying. But the fact that you know, week one he didn't look good. Week two he looks good. Week three didn't look good, and there were plays to be made, and we didn't make them, and he didn't make them. And so that's where I think everyone's like overreaction, because it's still the growth process of a young player. And so I'm not overreacting at all. It doesn't change my feeling of Blake Bortles and what he can become and can do in this league. But I think that's where the overreaction of like the world is ending, fire Dave, fire Gus, and Blake Bortles is a bust. The overreaction is because it's the up and down of a young quarterback, bad, good, bad. And that's the feeling you get, that coupled to the fact that you never stopped them on defense. That's why this is a day where everyone's looking around going, are we this bad?
Well, it also doesn't help, Tony, that Derek Carr and Teddy Bridgewater are 2-1.
No.
That doesn't help, particularly with Derek Carr playing the way he did yesterday and has played. And,
yeah,
and right now, I'd probably say he's the best of the three right now. So,
it's hard to
put it all in perspective, but again, Jacksonville, I mean, now Linder played, but he didn't look like Linder. And
yeah, but he didn't play terrible, Pete. I watched the tape.
Well, but it wasn't.
He played a couple of penalties, didn't he?
Well, he had one penalty where he got caught, and it was a hold, and it was a Mike blitz, a middle backer blitz, and he gets caught up on the double team too long. He's supposed to get off, and he gets off late and has to hold him.
But it wasn't like he was a week ago against Sue.
Well, I mean, but come on, he's playing with a shoulder. That's
exactly.
An issue.
That's what I'm saying. That's the point I'm making, Tony. I'm not giving him an excuse.
I'll say this. I'm watching the tape. I thought Brandon Linder played his butt off.
But that's who he is. He's going to play his butt off.
That's my point. So that doesn't bother me. It's 1 week off. He's gonna get. I mean, he's gonna get. He's gonna get more and more used to it.
Tony, I'm not killing the kid. I think he's a really good football player. It's just with the injury, he wasn't what he was the week before. So that's gonna impact it. You evaluated the line. Who else played? Cordell play good?
Okay. I mean, I don't think anyone played great. I'll say. I mean, Sam Young. I mean, he was fine. I mean, he wasn't an issue. I don't think.
Looked like the left guard had some problems.
Yeah,
on the
I was gonna say he struggled. That was a struggle.
Is it time for the change there?
Listen, I've said, I think we've said,
no,
I'm not dancing.
That in the preseason,
I'm
not, you're dancing again.
Like Fred Astaire.
Can I finish my thought?
Go ahead.
I would be giving looks to Shatley or Can. I would. I would go give one of those young guys who are physical, big physical players. I mean, I would put him in.
I didn't see, you know, just off the TV and looking at it again, it looked like he really struggled. That was something that's accurate.
That is an accurate statement.
How'd the center play, do you think?
Solid. No one was great when you don't run the ball very well. The tight end wasn't very good. I don't think he blocked well at all.
Yeah, what has happened with him? That used to be a strong suit with him.
Yeah, it was very.
That was his calling card. Now he can't block.
Very average, and that's being kind.
50 yards on the ground by running backs.
So I'm not saying anyone played. I'm not going to say anyone played well. Some were okay, average. But when when you lose 51-17, and seven of those points come at the very end, kind of in garbage time, no one played well on either side of the ball. I mean, guys play. I thought certain guys played hard, but I don't think anyone played well.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty, and it's a reality check for a team that needed maybe, you know, to kind of get a gauge of where they are against the big boys in the league. It's clear now, Miami isn't the big boy. That looked like a good win a week ago, and it's still a good win because you got one, but Miami's not very good. And so now you go to Indy this week, and we'll dissect that this week, this show coming up. But to me, that's a little bit of a reality check. I know there's a lot of injuries, but at some point, you just
the secondary
go
is decimated, Pete. At one point, your secondary was a guy who played quarterback in Nick Marshall last year.
What did he play? Two plays or something?
I'm just saying. But at one point, so you're facing Tom Brady in the red zone, and your secondary is Nick Marshall, Demetrius McCray, Aaron Colvin, Peyton Thompson at safety, who's a corner because all the other safeties were hurt. And James Sample, who did not play at all in the preseason until the last game and missed all of training camp as your other safety.
Yeah, it's a young group and an injured group.
And
a
group of guys playing positions they haven't played before.
Well.
Or not very much.
Well, they went into the game with, Sample, Evans, right?
And Sergio Brown. Sergio Brown and Evans both got hurt.
Right. So you got to move. You got to move
Peyton Thompson from corner, who's your fourth corner.
And he struggled back there.
You're asking a lot from the kid. He was on practice, Scott. He was injured all training camp. Right. He's a corner. And you look back there and you say, you got to go play, you know, safety against the best quarterback ever to play the game, possibly.
It's a tough position. But, Tony, all this stuff, you know what the fans out there are doing? They're getting out little violins.
I get it. I mean, listen, I'm not making any excuses, but let me make one last excuse. It's not even an excuse because it doesn't change the impact of the game. The Patriots can complain all they want about the NFL being out to get them. Let me tell you who's not out to get them. The officials. They get every call. And the game is called different, and I've known this. I mean, you can't touch Tom Brady. His helmet gets grazed by Audric, who's reaching over to try to bat the ball, and it kind of just grazes the top of his helmet, roughing the passer, shot to the head.
Well, that's the rule.
Okay, fine. On at least two occasions, maybe more, guys took 2 to 3 steps and hit Blake Bortles. No flag. I mean, it was unbelievable, Pete.
Oh, now they get away with stuff. I mean, I don't think there's any question
on
about
the Peyton, on the they called Peyton Thompson for a PI long pass. Was it technically there was hand fighting? You know, but did it affect the receiver? No. Allen Robinson's running routes and he's getting mugged outside, and there's no call. I mean,
look, it's always been that way with the Patriots.
Gronk is, you know, beating people up down the field, and James Sample, was it technically a PI? Yes. It was an uncatchable ball because it was picked by Devon House. And you see that be a non-call all the time in the NFL.
They could have called 3 of those the other way.
I'm not saying it changes.
It wouldn't have mattered.
Pete, I'm not saying it changes anything. This has nothing to do with the outcome of the game. It's more just a commentary of watching the Patriots play. And they can say all they want about the leagues out to get them and everything else. It's the Michael Jordan rules. And you touch Tom Brady, you're getting a flag.
One thing that did bother me about the end of that game, though, and not from a Jaguar standpoint, just from a football standpoint, what the hell was Tom Brady doing in the game?
He got sacked. He got sacked. Could you imagine up 44-10 and he gets sacked and hurts his knee?
He did it. In Arizona, Carson Palmer was in the game with winning 40, whatever, with 5 minutes to go throwing passes. And in Seattle, when the game was decided, Russell Wilson is in the game when it's like whatever it was to nothing.
These coaches should watch the tape of Ben Roethlisberger getting his knee jacked up and being out 4-6 and just say, you know, if the game's over, let me get the backup some work and just hand the ball off and get out of here.
Right, of course. And I just don't get it. It just makes no sense to me. Your whole season is that quarterback. Why would you – what's the point of keeping him in the game?
None.
A, you're risking injury, and everybody says, well, Tom Brady gets the ball out. Well, he got whacked, and he had people around his legs on that one play. I mean, there were a lot of bodies around him.
Yep.
And that's just not worth it to me. Get Garoppolo some work and move on. If Bill Belichick could look me in the eyes and explain to me, or Bruce Arians could look me in the eyes and explain to me why they keep him in the game, a rational reason, then maybe I'd understand, but there is none. There's no way you should ever keep those guys in the game.
Plenty left to get to. Jaguars Monday just underway. The Jags will be back at Everbank Field Sunday, October 18th at 1 o'clock. They'll welcome J.J. Watt and the Texans. Great seats were just made available. They'll go fast, though. Get your tickets now at jaguars.com/tickets. A little more on the Jaguars defense coming up. We'll break down the Jags offensive side as well after the 51-17 loss in Foxborough. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
They'll look at the tape. They'll know some of the things that we did. We weren't as precise as we needed to be. And I think we got to get back to who we are. And I think that's the biggest thing that we've talked about in there. We're going to talk about as this week goes on is let's get back to being who we are, regardless who's in there, and let's play ball the way we're capable of playing.
Head coach Gus Bradley earlier today after the Jags fall in Foxborough yesterday. Gus Bradley in his Monday day after press conference. J.P. Shadrick with Tony Boselli here in Jacksonville. Pete Prisco is with us in Fort Lauderdale this evening at the CBS Sports Studios. Well, okay, guys, where do we start on defense here? How do you get pressure from the 4 up front they have right now?
How do you get pressure on a quarterback moving forward?
Well, let me – before I answer that, you see the trade for Jared Allen, Pete?
Yeah.
What'd they give up?
It wasn't much, I'll tell you right now, because it was like this different report. Why? What's your point?
I mean, would
that?
You – I mean,
No.
It's not worth it, is it?
Not if you're not a good team. I mean, if you're a good team and Panthers obviously think they're a pretty good team, then, yeah, it might be worth it. But no, not for the Jaguars. Absolutely not.
So I'll say this. I thought Chris Clemens rushed the
passer. Six-round pick.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that either. I think Chris Clemens rushed the passer pretty good. Yesterday he got pressure on Brady. He took Solder right into the lap of Brady a couple times, but the ball is gone so much. It's so quick. I mean, he is so smart. I don't think yesterday is a good gauge to look at the pass rush. Because, the Bills, who have a great pass rush, couldn't get near him either.
Well, he got the ball out in Buffalo, I think, in under 2 seconds.
Same thing. You watch the game, Pete. I mean, everything's underneath. Everything's crossing routes. And they use the Gronk. They use Gronk to expose the middle of the field on cover two defenses.
How do you defend that? I mean, what you can't play zone because he'll kill it. So, and if you play man – I mean, Gronk will kill the man unless you double him and beat him up. I mean, how do you defend that? You can't get pressure.
I don't know, but one thing, I'm not a defensive coordinator, but if Gronk lines up near the line of scrimmage, because Brady gets rid of it so quick, why not have a defensive end just knock the crap out of him before he goes off the ball? I mean, you're not going to get a pass rush from that one guy, but take him out. Slow him down.
And the pass rush.
I mean, you can't give him a free release. I mean, the pass rush is not
matter. Yeah, the pass rush isn't a factor anyway.
Doesn't matter.
You're not getting near him, right?
So you might as well just take a defensive end when he lines up near the line of scrimmage and just pound him and take him out of the route. Now, the thing they do, they move him around and put him outside, so you can't do that.
Yeah.
But there's a number of times he took advantage from the in-line tight end position or very close to it, attached to the line of scrimmage, and got a free release and just worked over the middle of the field.
Why can't you take him away with two guys? I've seen in the last couple of years, you've seen Rex Ryan walk out a linebacker.
Well, Rex didn't do a very good job against him because he killed Buffalo too. I mean, I don't know.
But,
listen.
But remember, Belichick did it to Tony Gonzalez in that one game a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I think you can get creative. But the problem is, if you're the Jaguars to do that, you have to change your coverage and you have to bastardize it a little bit because you're taking it. And they're so young and injured back there, Pete. That just opens you up for so many mistakes. Because so I think the game plan was like try to keep it as simple as possible. And that's why I think the only thing I might have done is put a defensive end over him when he's attached to the line of scrimmage and just pound him and take him out of the game. But then you got Julian Edelman running great crossing routes and Brady gets up to the line of scrimmage, IDs the coverage, and if there's a blitz or what he wants, changes the plays, and he knows right where he's going to the ball with the ball. And if it's not there, he's checking it down to Deion Lewis out of the backfield. I mean, it is like 1-2, okay, nope, going here. I mean, he is magnificent at it.
He really is. He's got, and it's almost as if he's gotten better. In terms of his progressions and all that stuff, he's definitely gotten better. And, ball comes out quicker. And I think that's part of the reason why they won the Super Bowl last year is because he got the ball out, and it kind of helped negate some of those guys up front for Seattle. And so you got to come up, you got to get creative, you got to try and get a little creative. I mean, you got to do something. You can't just sit back and get 51 on you. I don't care who's
back. Yeah, no, you can't sit back and they played a lot of just too high zone and tried to keep everything in front of them, and it didn't work. So
well, Tony, how many guys from the projected starting lineup on defense were not in the game? And I'm talking counting Fowler because he would have been their pass rusher. Counting Fowler.
Okay, one is Fowler's one, and Derek Marks is two. Andre Branch is three.
Fowler and Branch wouldn't be on the field at the same time.
Okay, let's say two then. I'll give you two.
Okay.
So,
Cyprian.
Well, you might first and second down put Fowler at a linebacker. He did that last year.
Yeah.
So let's just say two. So we'll say two up the front, two on the defensive line. Two in the defensive backfield.
Right.
Because Grotz is your nickel corner and Sip is your safety.
So that's four.
Four off the defense. And really.
Right, and then you lost
Sergio Brown. That's five.
Yeah, so five off the defense. Those five play the whole game. It's probably 40.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, you can't sit here and say if those guys play that it wasn't going to be four. I mean, that's a damn good offense.
They put 40 on Buffalo.
Right.
In Buffalo.
Right. So, It's tough to stop.
They're really good.
Yeah, they're really good. And it just shows that how much of a step this team has to go, I think. And it's not that it can't happen, but it's just they have to take a big step forward.
Yeah, it's. I'm not a defensive coordinator, but I mean, I don't you at some point if they're just tearing you one, out of playing that zone, don't you? I mean, is it? I guess is it just gonna be quicker if you just go up and play? We're gonna play press and just beat the heck out of you and try to get to Brady.
See me, I would press the outside, all those outside guys in the slot.
Edelman's good, man.
Yeah, he's really
good.
But you could press him and beat him up a little. Try and beat him up a little bit. Because nobody's going to run by you on that offense. That's the thing. Imagine if they had a speed threat outside that was legitimate down the field.
They're good.
Yeah.
They're good.
And what do you think of because they play with three young kids on the offensive line.
Listen, even when they get beat off the line of scrimmage a couple times, they got beat right away and the ball is gone.
Yeah.
It's unreal, Pete.
It's like playing offensive line with Rodgers.
Yeah. You just get him for a second, block your guy for a second. And you're going to be fine.
Or Peyton back in the day.
When
he was with the Colts, and they never had really good lines or great lines, and he was able to shuffle away from it. But remember, Tony, the one way you could get to Peyton, and I think you could get to Brady that way a little bit, is you got to get interior pressure quick.
Yeah, it's hard. And they do a good job of sliding. And I'll give the guys up front, they do a good job. I mean, they're solid. They're well coached. They do a nice job, and they cover for their deficiencies. And a lot of it is number 12 getting rid of the ball.
Makes your line look a lot better.
Oh,
no
gosh,
doubt.
A good quarterback helps you so much.
No doubt about it.
He moves around, steps up, the ball's gone. And what happens, Pete, and you know this, when you're playing a defensive line, when you're playing a guy like Brady, it's so hard mentally to keep on coming because even when you win, the ball's gone and you're like, you know. And so then – I think it changes the way you rush that helps, and that helps the offensive line so that when he does hold it, you know, a lot of times people are getting blocked. And if one guy gets beat, he is so good at shuffling just the right space to get rid of the ball and buy enough time.
Yeah, he's good. I mean, no, correction. He's great. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, listen, Pete, who's in the history of this league? I mean, is he not in the top three, top two, maybe one?
He's in the conversation.
He's been to six Super Bowls. He's won four of them.
Right. He's in the conversation. I don't know. I mean, the wins are there, and that's not one for me that, you know, people.
The numbers are there.
The numbers are there.
And he's done it with every different kind of receiver.
And your eyes are there when you watch him, and you go, wow. I mean, yeah, so he's in the debate for being the greatest of all time, no doubt.
You'll never miss a Jags kickoff when you ride the JTA Stadium Shuttle. Service begins 2 hours before the game and runs until 1 hour after the game ends. The JTA Stadium Shuttle, your ride to Jaguars action. We'll talk a little Jags offense when we return. Jags fall yesterday in Foxborough. We'll take some calls in the second hour tonight after 7 o'clock. So get ready. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
It's just like any other loss, you know. You just got to just take what you got to take from it and get it corrected, you know. And then once Tuesday comes or Wednesday, depending on how you guys take the week, you know, you got to just move forward to the next week.
Allen Robinson, Jaguars wide receiver, after the loss yesterday in the Foxborough. He was speaking today in the Jaguars locker room. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli here in Jacksonville. Pete Prisco with us down in Fort Lauderdale tonight. Let's stay on that offense, Pete. Tony's out of the room for the moment, Pete, so it's just you and I right now.
Well, that's not so bad.
Yeah, no, he's out of here. He's coming in. Offense, run game. This was supposed to be a game where the Jags could take advantage of a Patriots defense that had not stopped the run the first couple of weeks. Why not, Pete? Why not run the ball yesterday?
Why couldn't they run
the
ball?
Why couldn't they, yes.
Well, I mean, it starts up front, obviously. And Patriots were better, I thought, against the run. That's something that they struggled with the first two games. They were better. Jacksonville didn't handle it as well. They didn't block as well.
Well, let me say this about the Patriots' run defense. Opening night, they were not very good. You're right, Pete.
They weren't that great against Buffalo.
Yeah,
either,
but go back and look at the tape, how they got all their yards. A lot of those yards, you know where they came from? Tyrod Taylor scrambling
right
for his life.
Right.
And so it wasn't just traditional run. Now, Pittsburgh gashed them. But I don't think the Bills did. So the numbers were a little bit misleading, which can happen after you play a running quarterback this early in the season. With that said, the reason is they blocked the wrong guys sometimes. And they got beat one-on-one. I mean, I'm not trying to kill anyone, but a couple times on the backside, Mercedes has got to do a better job with that end. There's a crease up there, and TJ's hitting it, and that backside end's coming and pounding them. And one would have been a big run up to the safeties. Did Mercedes get – I don't know. I mean, it looked like to me, understanding the scheme and what you're trying to do, he's got to seal off that backside end. There's no one to work up to the next level, and if he's going to do that, he does it late. And TJ's one-on-one with the safety if that happens. And there's a couple times when you got to be more physical when you're pulling as a guard. You got to get up there and be physical. Define the hole for the guy. And I thought TJ missed a cut or two. And so it wasn't any one guy. But listen, it wasn't like the Patriots did some mysterious thing. Run game is simple, man. Get on your blocks. Now, if they're dropping eight in the box and you're out leverage or they have an extra guy, it's on the back to make that one guy miss or the receiver has to come in and get it. That's what I mean, listen, Edelman's outstanding at that, by the way, for the Patriots. He gets in there and digs out that safety. But if they're stopping you with seven, that's on the offensive line in the backs. And the tight ends. Go, listen, it's about winning one-on-one and going to the right backer at the next level and getting on guys and staying on guys. That's why they didn't run the ball. They didn't do that. They didn't do that as well as they needed to.
Jamie Collins is pretty damn good, by the way.
Jamie Collins is the best player on that defense.
Yeah, I agree.
By far.
Yeah.
I thought that going in, and it was confirmed at the game. That kid is a stud.
He's a guy I loved him coming out. He was one of my
– And
my
I feel the same thing about Chandler Jones as I thought before the game. He's okay. He's a good player, not a great player.
Right. He's a good player, not a great player. Jamie Collins is a really good player. Really Hightower good. Is pretty solid. Didn't play very well yesterday. Malcolm Butler is good, surprisingly. McCourty's good.
McCourty's better than Butler.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. But Butler plays – what they play to a different position.
No, I'm just saying. I'm talking about overall in the
Portside
defense.
Oh, McCourty's much better than Butler. But I mean, you look at that secondary. They you know who doesn't play much? Jerod Mayo.
Well, he comes out on sub.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but he's
getting up there in age here, Pete.
What?
Getting up there in age.
I know.
Those middle backers take a lot of hits. They don't
Okay, I'll give you one. Sheard. He's a solid player. Is it good to have a rotation guy?
Plays
like
hard.
That?
Plays yeah. very hard.
That's a guy that Jacksonville could have used, but he doesn't quite fit what they do.
Why not? He could be a Leo.
I mean, how many Leos are you going to have on that team? I mean, they had.
About.
They had,
oh, yeah.
Well, they don't have any now, but I mean, how many? Right? I mean, what Branch, Fowler, and Clemens were all supposed to be Leos, right?
Yeah. Listen.
And they have one. Now they have one.
And Branch is coming back to practice this week on Wednesday.
Dakota Watson got in the game yesterday.
Thanks, Pete. It's great insight by you. Like that mattered.
But you look around the league and
Pete,
you know,
come on. I don't want to hear this. All right,
I
know, should have kept them. No, you didn't.
Well, Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, well, Brandon Marshall's pre this group.
Yeah, right. But I'm saying I'm not.
How did Brandon Marshall become such a good player? Because he was not that good here.
JT Thomas.
JT Thomas is one I thought we should have kept.
Darryl Smith.
Darryl Smith's still playing good football, and I would not have got rid of him.
So the linebackers that are playing on other teams, could they not help that team?
Sure.
And I'm not criticizing them for Darryl Smith, I could get it. You're rebuilding older guys.
I do too. I understand that one too. I probably wouldn't have done it, but I understand why.
JT Thomas
one still perplexes me. I don't understand. I don't understand why Dave didn't want to keep him and offer him, because he's only getting $4 million from the Jets. I mean, from the Giants, a year, right?
If you keep JT Thomas. Where does he play?
He's probably playing your auto.
Instead of
Scooter. Instead of going out to get Scooter.
Well, yeah, maybe, or you bring Scooter in as your backup auto, special teams player, and a third down pass rusher, situational guy. Like he was, that's what he was when everyone's healthy in San Francisco. That's what he was. And he filled in. He's a very good player that you can fill in and feel comfortable if he's a starter.
It didn't look like to me, just from the – and I haven't watched the 22, but it didn't look to me like anybody on defense was any good.
when you give up 51, Pete, that's very – listen, I thought Clem play had some very nice rushes. I thought Roy was solid in the middle, but no, there wasn't, Pete. There wasn't a lot of good play. No.
I mean, but usually there's one or two guys that –
Yeah, I just gave you two.
I guess.
What do you guess? You just said you haven't watched anything.
Well, I mean, I didn't watch the tape, but I watched the game and went back and watched it again.
Usually when 2 out of 11 guys play pretty okay or pretty good, you're going to give up a lot of points because there's 9
guys. By the
way,
I just want to tell the audience tonight, Tony is in I'm the coach mode tonight.
I am
so
not.
Beware.
How
yes,
do you,
you
figure?
Are,
I just
because you're angry, you're mad, you're bitter. And you're talking about moving on, and you don't want to rehash what happened yesterday.
I'm sitting here rehashing it.
You won't let reality hit you in the face. You're like, yeah, it's just you're coach tonight, Tony. Coach Buscelli.
Pete, it's like that every week, right?
No, but last week he was happy guy, the happy coach guy. Yeah, I guess you're right. He's the coach.
It's every
week.
It's both ways. Yeah.
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 Up and down. Like
what do you want
coach.
Me to say, Pete? What do you, tell me what you want me to say. What am I say? What am I not saying that you would like to hear?
I don't know. Somebody on Twitter called you Captain Sunshine.
How about calling him Captain Kiss My Butt?
Ooh.
Wow.
Great comeback.
I'm just saying, what do you want me to say that I'm not saying?
I don't want you to say anything.
Okay, then what am I saying that's your quote-unquote coach speak?
You asked.
Did anyone play
JP
okay?
Will,
I said I thought that Clem had some
me.
Nice rushes.
JP will agree with me.
I thought Roy was solid. I didn't say – that leaves 9 guys out there, by the way, that I didn't think played all that hot.
JP
what else do you want me to say?
JP will agree with me. He's in coach mode, is he not,
Oh,
JP?
Coach mode. He's got the coach hat on. He's got the coach shirt
coach
on. Coach Buscelli.
In 24 hours, it's all behind us, and we move forward. Guys.
It's on to Indianapolis.
It's on to Indianapolis.
That's right.
You guys done yet?
No. Third grade is going to be awesome next year for you, by the way, with that comeback. That's awesome.
What?
Well done. Kiss my butt, you told him? Great job.
I like that, though, Tony. You got more fire in your belly than the entire Miami Dolphins team did yesterday. So there you go.
Boy, how? They were bad.
Woo! We'll get into that later on. But, boy.
Yes.
Jacksonville got beat to death yesterday. I mean, pretty much. But at least they came out and they had a little something. Miami. At home opener, had nothing. Zero.
By the way, Coach Buscelli has Chinese food here in the studio.
Yep.
For the record.
I know he went and had Italian Saturday night.
I didn't, Pete. You know what I did? In Providence has some of the best Italian food
right,
in the country.
Right, what happened? What's the matter with you?
I didn't get much sleep the night before. I was tired. I got up there, put on the Florida-Tennessee game.
Right.
Fell dead asleep. Woke up and saw the debacle of Butch Jones' clock management at the end of the game.
Right.
And then it was like 7:15, whatever, 7:30. I'm like, So I went and got a workout in. Went
wow.
Worked out.
What?
And then ordered room service and went to bed. And the nap kept me up to watch SC just wipe the whatever stadium you guys play in floor of the Sun Devils.
It kept me up to about midway through the third quarter.
I fell asleep third quarter. It was over. I was done.
And you know what I did? I tweeted out about 22 things. Get rid of that coach. Fire that guy. Get him out of there. And even the Sun Devils Twitter feed, I tweeted at them. Get that guy out.
What's up with the wristbands? I never understood that.
Well, and the earpiece and everything. He's a terrible coach, by the way. He's a terrible. What? Why would he think that he was going to control the clock in that game? What the hell was that all about?
Especially when they're an up-tempo team. That's what they
right.
are.
Right. Right. It was the worst. He's awful. They're awful. The season's over. Arizona's season's over. It's just the Pac-12 – was supposed to be a great weekend, and it ended up being garbage. And who's left standing? The same teams always: UCLA, USC, and Stanford.
Oh, Utah, baby! Utah.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. We'll come back in a moment. I've got 2 full sheets of injury report to go through for this Jaguars team. If you're looking for a safe free ride to the Jags game from local bars and restaurants, the Big Cat Convoy provides you with a game ticket and a free ride direct to the game and back. Avoid parking fees and have a blast with your friends before, during, and after the game. Get your convoy tickets now at jaguars.com/convoy. The injury report coming up. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
It's not a season-ending injury. You know, I got the opportunity to play the first half of that, yesterday. Things got sore, and like I pulled it, it popped, and things like that got sore. So we just being smart about it. You know, we got what 13 more games to go. I mean, you know, it's I'm kind of, yeah, I want to play, but then again, you know, to their sense, you know, I understand what they're doing.
That's Jaguars wide receiver Marquise Lee in the locker room today, day after the Jags fall in Foxborough. Jaguars Monday rolls along. Phone calls coming up. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. We'll take calls coming up at the top of the hour. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli here in Jacksonville. Pete Prisco down in Fort Lauderdale.
So I got a comment to make about that whole thing we just listened to.
About Marquise.
With Marquise.
Yes.
Fellow Trojan, I love Marquise. I think he's immensely talented. But I'll tell you what, part of this league is being able to be counted on and showing up and being there. And it's hard for a coaching staff, an offensive staff, to game plan and to get you involved as a player in the game plan, to set up situations and concepts and everything else for what you're able to do, which is different than anyone else, if they can't count on you being out there. And that you're going to get nicked, and the Knicks are going to keep you out of the game. And I'm not questioning Marquise Lee's toughness or anything like that. I'm just saying it has to change if he wants to be an effective player in this league. And I hope it's not just bad luck that he just has the injury bug and can't shake it. And I hope it's stuff he can overcome. And sometimes it's just young guys learn to play with hurts and minor nicks. Sometimes it just takes time to learn how to do that. That's not a critical
thing. 2 years?
I'm just telling you, Pete, correct me if I'm wrong, it's hard to be an effective player if the staff can't count on you to be out there.
I would agree.
And I'm not saying this is coming from the staff. No one is saying this. I'm just saying me as a former player who's been on teams, when you're a guy that is constantly hurt, it's hard for anyone to count on you to be out there when it matters and when you're needed. And he was needed yesterday. And
but the way he made it sound like they pulled him from the game.
And maybe that's it. I don't know. I mean, I have no idea. I was there. All of a sudden he was out. He ran back and forth on the sidelines a lot. It looked like he was okay to go. I saw him talking to the doctor a lot, and he never went back in. So I don't know what the process was. I don't know what Gus said. I don't know what the trainer said. I don't know what the team doc said. I don't know Marquise Lee told them whether he could go or not. I have no idea any of that. Frankly, none of it matters to me. I'm just talking about big picture. If you want to be an effective player in this league and you want to be a weapon and you want to be used, it's hard for Greg Olsen and that staff to come up with a game plan where you're a part of it if they can't count on you being out there, because no one else can do what you do on this team.
Here's what the team officially said about Marquise Lee today. Of course, leading up to the game, he had knee soreness, and that was the downgrade
to
questionable.
They had to cut a special teams player.
Leroy Reynolds was cut.
To bring up another receiver. That's a problem.
That's right. The knee, of course, was fine yesterday, but Marquise came out of the game with hamstring soreness, the same injury, and the medical staff felt it was in his best interest to remove him from the game. He'll be evaluated throughout the week, but he said today in the locker room he expects to play this week.
So, fine. Okay.
Well, but every week you go out there and something happens with that hamstring, and it's been how long now?
So I'll just say this, and I've never had a hamstring, so I don't know.
What did he practice? 3 times in training camp? Right?
I don't know.
You've had a hamstring problem at some point.
No, I don't think I have.
They linger. I'm not saying
they don't. I just know of guys and played with guys that have had hamstring issues, and yes, sometimes they miss. But I also have watched guys with their whole back of their leg black and blue and their butt black and blue out there playing.
Yeah, because it could go from your butt down to your leg.
And I'm not quite – I want everyone to hear me say
this. No, you are questioning him.
I'm
it,
not.
You're just not saying it.
I'm not – what I'm questioning is the fact that in this league – and this not goes doesn't go just for Marquise Lee. You have to learn to play through tightness and nicks and hurts. Brandon Linder is a guy who played with a shoulder that I don't know the extent of the issue. I don't know what it is, but it's an issue enough where he had to sit out practice and had to wear something. You know, I don't even know what it was, but you could tell there was something on his arm from the booth. And he went out there and played and never said a word and just got his job done. And there's guys, and I'll go back to the receiver position. Keenan Mercado.
Mercado.
Mercado, thank you. Keenan and Pete, you were here, played with separated shoulders, broken bones, all types of issues, because that's what you did. And that's what and I'm not saying that he was an extreme. Now, I'm not asking anyone to go to the extremes that Keenan went to, but I'm just saying, if to be counted on and to be a part of a game plan, you got to be out there and you got to be able to do it. And I got to believe, I mean, if I was an offensive coordinator, I'm sitting there game planning, because Marquise Lee is a heck of a player. Heck of a player. He is, I mean, he is a fast, good hands and dynamic player that I want on there. And I'm rooting for him because he's a Jaguar and he's a Trojan. But if I'm game planning, I have a hard time putting the whole package in, because I don't know if it's going to be the second quarter or before the game or on Friday or at some point of another lingering tightness or whatever it is that happens. That's all I'm saying. Am I wrong, Pete?
No, you got to show up and play. You have to be reliable. And there's a difference between being hurt and being dinged. And
it, no, there's a difference. Here's what I say. There's a difference between injured and hurt.
Right.
Everything hurts. If you're injured, you can't go. Now,
but this one sounds to me, this sounds like to me that he might actually wanted to stay in the game and they wouldn't let him. So maybe it's time for them to take the bubble wrap off the guy.
Maybe it is. And maybe as a player sometimes, you don't tell the trainers everything.
Let's get through the injury update. Gerhardt is good to go off the abdominal strain. He'll be full moving forward. Allen Hurns, an aggravated thigh muscle. He'll be evaluated. We mentioned Marquise Lee. Devon House had a lower leg muscle strain. The team will update his status later in the week. Josh Evans had a knee MCL injury day-to-day this week. Sergio Brown, a calf strain. He'll be updated later this week as well. Cyprian improves from the calf injury. They'll progress him back into practice on Wednesday. Luke Jokel improves the ankle injury. They'll progress him back this week as well. Brandon Linder was played through that shoulder injury yesterday.
I would give Brandon Linder such limited reps all week to make sure he can play this year.
No doubt. Denard Robinson rehabbing the knee injury. Stilson Derek Marks will continue to increase his practice workload this week. Andre Branch will.
Remember all that talk, JP, about he was going to play the opener?
Yeah,
now
sure.
Now you're a month in. That was never going to happen.
Right. Andre Branch will progress back into practice Wednesday. He returns from the MCL injury. Julius Thomas will continue to practice limited this week. And, you know, the original idea was that was going to be week four for Julius, too. So this is a big week for him.
So he might go this week.
Well, I don't know. Didn't say that. We'll see. That was the original diagnosis. Remember, they went back in. And Dwayne Gratz is still rehabbing that ankle sprain. They'll evaluate him as we move forward. We'll come back in a moment. Phone lines are open. Your favorite, Tony.
Here we go.
355-NFL-1. 355-6351.
Bring it.
Phone calls after this. Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Try to do too much. I think we're playing some coverages. Guys are trying to make plays, trying to overanalyze things. We got a little bit out of character, which can happen. But we got to protect against that. And I think that part is when you start doing that, you try to make plays, you do things that are uncharacteristic that you do normally, then that's when the score can get like it is. And that's a lesson for our team, for everybody to learn. It's just to stay true to the principles, stay true to it throughout, and let's see what takes place. And once we see that, now we can fix some things.
Head coach Gus Bradley, earlier today in his day after press conference here at Everbank Field. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick with Tony Baselli here in Jacksonville. Pete Prisco on the line down in Fort Lauderdale. The phone lines are open, 355-NFL-1.
I bet they'll be loaded.
They're loaded. They're all full. There's not a line open right now.
They're coming after Captain Sunshine over there.
Come get some.
Coach Baselli, here we go.
But I said about – was that wrong? Was that Captain Sunshine what I said about the injuries? Was that Coach Speak?
You get mad a little bit.
I'm asking you, was that Coach Speak?
No, but you get mad a little bit when on Mondays. Come on.
Passionate about what I do, and I'm passionate about this franchise.
And you told me I don't care about anything, so it doesn't –
Which is true,
right,
except for yourself.
Right, and I'm not going to deny that.
Here's the order of Pete of Pete caring about things.
Okay.
One is Pete.
Yes.
Right. Two is Pete.
Right.
No. Three is Pete. Four is his wife. And five is Pete.
No, one is Pete. Two is his wife. Three is Pete. Four is his wife. Five is Pete.
Yeah. So three out of five.
I'm not sure your wife makes it all the way up number two, Pete.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. And if I had kids, they'd be in there, too. But as it is now, I don't. So
Will your kids be before you or after you?
Oh, they would be before me if I had kids.
Okay.
Before the second you or after the second you?
Oh, they'd be way ahead of me.
Really?
I don't have kids, but from what I hear, they soar right to the top of everything.
They do. They demand it.
Here we go to the phone lines. The phone lines are open. 355-NFL-1.
355-6351.
Here we go. Pat in Palm Coast was at the game, wants to talk about how not to lose this bad. Pat, how are you? Good evening. Pat, good evening. Pat,
you're on the...
Pat got scared by Captain Sunshine.
We'll move on. Jerry in Mandarin wants to talk about Bortles. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, guys. This whole town wants to throw the baby out with the bathwater every time the team is not able. This team is so young, and it's starting to get stuff together. But the main thing they need is pass protection and to keep the defense off the field the whole damn game. The quarterback has to trust his line and has to trust his receivers to catch the ball. And if he's getting beat up, it's no secret that the most hit quarterbacks in this league the last 4 or 5 years has been the Dolphins quarterback and the Jaguars quarterback.
Okay, hold on, though, a second. Hey, Jerry, hold on a second now. Number one, there was only one sack yesterday, I believe. Am I correct there, JP? I think it was one sack. And the sack was when Blake...
Two.
Was it two?
Two sacks, yeah.
Two sacks. One of them, though, was when Blake dropped the ball in the shotgun, and he had plenty of time. It wouldn't have been a sack. And the other was a legitimate sack. I can't remember which one it was. So, and it wasn't like he was getting tattooed back there. He had time. There was time to make plays. So I disagree with you 100% that was an issue yesterday.
Well, here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. If he can't trust to throw the ball and get the ball out quick, then he's got to watch his back.
He didn't have to watch his back yesterday. He had no sacks the week before, and he had one or two yesterday. What are you talking about? That wasn't the issue. The issue was they didn't run the ball. And Blake didn't play well. That was the issue yesterday on offense.
Well, that was an issue, but most of their common problem is worrying about him getting the ball out right. He seemed to play better when he was in hurry up.
Oh, here we go.
Instead of frantic.
Yeah, here we go. Okay. Yeah. Let's hurry up. Let's go fast and get off the field faster so Tom can get on there quicker.
That's the problem.
That's a great
point. If he's got protection and could trust his receivers to catch the ball, then he's going to do a good job. But if nobody's catching him half the
That's
time,
nonsense.
And he's got to worry about who's going to catch and not.
That's nonsense. There was one drop yesterday by Clay Harbor. One. That's nonsense.
That was
early in the preseason.
He's playing against the world champions in their house. So I gotta say, and plus we're playing half hurt all the time. Not some of the time.
So you guess what? Guess how many people care in the NFL that you're hurt? Guess how many people? Nobody. Nobody cares.
I care when my team's going on the line. I want them to.
No, I'm talking about in the NFL. No one cares. Coming up Sunday, you think the Colts care that we're hurt? They don't care.
They're hurt too.
They're
hurt too.
They want to know that you're hurt.
They're hurt too.
You think the Ravens care that Ben Roethlisberger is not playing? You think anyone cares? No one cares. Guess what? When it's time to play on Sunday, the guys you have, you go play. You don't make excuses.
Thanks for the call, Jerry in Mandarin. Let's go back. Pat, let's try Pat again in Palm Coast. Hi, Pat. What's up?
How you doing? I was at the game yesterday. And
thanks, Coach, hey, thank you, Pat. Thanks for traveling up there.
And I'll tell you, what a venue that place is. Gillette Stadium is a class place. I thought the New England fans were pretty good to us. And I'm just going to tell you, you know, the easiest – here's the thought process. The coaches really didn't follow through. If they looked at our old tape against Peyton Manning, the way we beat Peyton Manning and the Colts is keep them off the field. We ran the ball down their throat, put Tyson out with Toby Gerhardt in the back, and just keep pounding it because it'll happen. And then we just got out coached. That was the biggest thing that happened. We had a chance up until that pass went right over Mercedes Lewis's head, and we could have kept the ball. It would have been 13-6. Came out. Maybe got a stop, and we would at least had a lower score than 55-17, whatever it was.
So, Pat, the only thing I'll disagree a little bit with you on, and I think your premise is right, and I think they tried to run the ball early. And I think they were trying to get it going, and they just couldn't run the ball. And then you get behind.
First play, Allen Robinson, long pass.
Yeah, but that's what. But it was a naked, and he should have hit the tight end in the flat and took the 4-yard gain, is what he should have done, in my opinion. Watching the tape, and that's like a run. You just throw it, you get 2 or 3 yards, maybe 4 yards. You break a tackle, you can get 8 or 9.
Tony pounded up the middle. That's it.
I understand, Pat, and they tried to, but they were not having any success doing it. But your premise is right. I agree with you. Your premise is right.
With Tyson
Alualu. You can't put Tyson out there. He's playing every snap on defense.
Power eye formation. Goal line.
That's ridiculous.
That's what you do. That's
ridiculous.
And you go on fourth down when you're on the 35-yard line.
That's ridiculous.
Thanks. See, he's even laughing.
All right, Pat, thanks for coming up there, though.
Pat's even laughing. How about that? Goal line, first and goal, first and 10 at the 20. Let's go to Whitey in Riverside. Wants to talk about week to week in the NFL. Whitey, what's up?
First of all, Tony, we need to get a needle in those shoulders and get some pads back on you, buddy. Just take the needle. Don't worry about that shoulder pain. We need you out there as much of passion as you're showing right now.
Well,
just put a needle in that shoulder. You'll be all right.
You can put 5 needles.
Anyway,
it's not going to help.
This is obviously, it's a week-to-week league. You play the best team in the league, and you got your butt whipped. You won the week before. This is a team that has got no superstars, and that's just face it. They're building. They're young. They've got a lot of solid players, but until they can get playmakers on offense and defense, this is what they're going to win 5 or 6 games every year. And it's unfortunate. Maybe they drafted a playmaker with Fowler, and he's hurt now. Obviously, Joku was a miss. But at some point, they've got to find an Antonio Brown. They've got to find a guy that can come off the edge and get double-digit sacks. And they've got to get Marquise Lee. They thought maybe be their game breaker. And obviously, you heard Tony basically say that he's got a little bit of you know what, and I mean, he doesn't want to play through injuries.
No, I didn't say that. I said yesterday the team held him out. I'm saying,
sometimes you don't need to tell the team things. You just need to play through it.
And I said, as a young player, you have to learn that. It's everyone's different. Listen, I'll just say this about, because I didn't say that about Marquise Lee, and I'll just remind everybody, year 3 of Fred Taylor's career, they were calling him Fragile Fred, and the guy played for 13 years, whatever it was, and rushed for almost 12,000 yards. So –
It wasn't a hamstring. He had his groin pulled off the bone.
I understand that, but you got to give guys time. And Fred overcame the injury, and it was a major injury. It's different than Marquise Lee's, but I'm telling you, I never said that about Marquise Lee.
You didn't say that about him, but you questioned it.
No, what I question is you have to learn and everyone learns at a different pace. And you got to learn. And a lot of times, skill guys, when it comes to soft tissue, it's hard when you pull a muscle and you've done it a couple times. It's hard to go back and trust it. And you just got to learn and trust it and go play until you can't play because something happens.
What about the needle?
You don't put a needle in the hamstring, Pete.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Garrett on the west side wants to talk about number 89. I'm guessing Mercedes Lewis. What's up?
I got two questions here. The first one is about Lewis. I just don't understand how he looks so good in the preseason and come regular season, and he's just doesn't get the ball. When he is thrown to, he's either overthrown. And when we get down to the red zone, he's one of the tallest players we have. If he stretches his arms up, it's almost 9 foot. I mean, why don't they try to incorporate a jump pass or something when they get down there for him to just jump up and catch the ball?
So two things. Hold on, answer that one first. Two things real quick. One of the biggest plays of the first half, in my opinion, was when Mercedes lined up wrong in the formation and it forced a penalty on a play that would have gotten first and goal from the 3, but he lined up wrong. And so they tried to get him the ball, and he lined up in the wrong position, in the wrong formation, and cost him a penalty. That's the first thing. The second thing is, if you look throughout Mercedes' career, he's been an outstanding blocker and an okay pass receiver. That's what he has been, and that's what he is. He is not great. Now, can he do it? Has he done it at times? Yes. But he is not great in those one-on-one situations all the time and high pointing the ball and winning that battle. Do I agree with you? Would I like to see them do it more because he has a chance to do it and maybe get a PI? Absolutely. But as far as getting involved, got to line up right. That was a huge play in the first half. They had to settle for a field goal instead of being first and goal on the three.
That was his calling card back in the day. He was known as the bruising blocker and keep him in line. It was like an extra tackle. He's not even that anymore.
What's your second question?
My second question is with T.J. Yeldon. It seems like he does better when they get on the outside instead of running up the middle. Why don't they do an option sweep to the outside and get him to the outside where he can beat the edge and try to get upfield instead of running in the hole when we don't have adequate blocking at times? It just seems like they always want to run him up the hole instead of doing an option sweep with Blake because he can.
Option sweep, so you want to run option with the quarterback?
No, with Yeldon. Just do a sweep play and then toss it to the left side or to the right and try to get him out on the edge instead of running him up the middle. I mean, okay.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
T.J. Yeldon's a very good zone back, inside, outside zone. That's what he runs, I think, the best. He's not a speed back. And the Patriots historically do an outstanding job. One of Bill Belichick's calling cards as a defense coordinator is leveraging and keeping everything inside.
Let's go. Let's get one more before the break here. Dominic at the Beaches wants to talk about injuries. Dominic, good evening.
Hey, guys. I think Coach Vaselli here is on to something when it comes to just the mental toughness. And actually, I just want to make a point and just listen to your answer here, Tony. I think there is a mental toughness factor that obviously, you know, you guys played with back when you went to the AFC Championship. I grew up watching the Steelers play, and I always hated playing against Tony Boselli. I knew he would be at issue. One, the injuries, the mental toughness thing, I think you're onto something. But two, is there veteran players, or there's a lack of veteran players, it seems like, on the team to kind of lead in that type of capacity? Do you agree with that?
So two things. One, on the mental toughness, and it's such a fine line, and it's a dangerous thing because everyone is wired different when it comes to injuries. And I don't buy the toughness. Maybe for some guys, but he's tougher than the other guy. You know, it's just like anything else. You know, the way you were made or grew up or whatever, the culture that you're in, whatever it is, some guys have a greater ability early in their career and throughout the career to do that. One of the things that you have to understand, this is a very young group, so young team. Look at the wide receiver position. That's a young room. And so you don't have that veteran guy to teach guys how to play at this level because they're so young. And you can go around the different position groups and you see that. And I think so, and no one likes to hear this, but there has to be a little bit of patience. I'm not making any excuse for the game yesterday. That shouldn't have happened. I don't think anyone's saying that's okay. But young players, and this is what I was saying, whether it's Marquise Lee or anybody else, you have to learn how to be a professional. And when there's only young guys around you, that process can take a little bit longer.
Yeah, and Tony, I get what you're saying. You got to learn how to play through that stuff. Sometimes you think it's an injury and it's really not. 6 years down the road, you'll know that it's not an injury. You got to understand your body. But at some point, you guys got to go play. You got to go play.
I get that. And my whole comment earlier about Marquise, and I was using him as an example, it's not so much about Marquise and whether the severity of the injury or whatever, or the team held him out, or he held himself out, or whatever the case was, because none of us know. We're not down there. My point is, it's hard, but it was more on the coaching side. As you're game planning and trying to prepare, it's hard to do that for a guy like Marquise Lee. And I use him as an example because he's the one different type of receiver. He's the one speed threat on this offense. And when you're not sure whether you're going to have him or not, it's just really hard to game plan and create a package for him. Because when he goes out, that package is out the door, and now you are limited on what you're trying to do that day because you've been working all week on a certain package and certain game situations and certain things for certain guys. When you lose it, it makes it hard as a coach.
We'll come back in a moment. Phone lines open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351 if you want to talk to Coach Boselli and Pete Prisco. Jags fall in Foxborough yesterday. We'll continue in just a moment. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
You know, I looked at it and said I could have done some things better. I think, you know, I speak defensively, looking at that game. Some of the things that we did, maybe for whatever reasons, our injury situation, you know, what we had to work with at that time and saying, okay, how can we put together a plan together that best gives us the opportunity to be our best? You know, now looking back at it, I think there's some areas that we could have been more aggressive in some of our coverage principles. You know, I think those things. So not so much how we go about it, maybe just the philosophy.
Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley earlier today after the Jags fall in Foxborough in week 3. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick with Tony Buscelli in Jacksonville. Pete Prisco down in Fort Lauderdale tonight. Phone lines open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. That'll lead us right into Chris in Marietta to discuss head coach Gus Bradley. Chris?
Hey, yeah, guys. Just calling about, I mean, the NFL is filled with tough guys, and seems like everybody thinks Coach Gus Bradley is so nice. Pete Carroll, I mean, most of the good coaches are not nice guys. So just wondering if he's...
I got to disagree with you 100%.
Really?
Yeah. I mean...
Well, Tony Dungy was a nice guy and won a Super Bowl.
Well, yeah, I guess you're right.
And Pete Carroll is one of the most positive individuals in this entire planet Earth. And Gus Bradley is a tough guy from the standpoint of he gets after guys. His message is consistent. He demands they play a certain way. I mean, I just – that makes no sense to me.
I'll say this. It's hard to evaluate Gus and his persona because the team he inherited was so young and so new. You don't know how he would handle it if he had a slew of veterans on this team. It might be different. You know, so – you know, for everybody on the outside sitting there saying, oh, Gus is this, and he babies this team, and he's too nice and that. You have no idea because he inherited a team that was made up of a bunch of kids that he had to instill some kind of culture in the building. And now you're in year 3. So now it comes time, Tony, and I'm a big believer in this. If it's time to put a foot in somebody's behind, now is the time for Gus Bradley to do it.
But here's my question to everyone listening, and to you, Pete, and to me. Do any of us, and JP,
thank you,
and Joe, and anyone else listening to us, do any of us really know that he hasn't put a foot up their rear end? I actually, number one, if I was a head coach, I don't think you call guys out in the media. I don't think that's the way you do it. Because as a coach, no one – the coach, the last thing he wants is players calling out coaches and calling out each other. So I don't think that's where you handle your business. And Gus handles the media and how he communicates about the team perfectly, in my opinion. And none of us know if he hasn't stuck his foot so far up their rear ends, they don't know where they start and he ends, or he starts and they end, whatever, which way you want to look at it. So none of us know that. And I think it's asinine for any of us to make the assumption he hasn't done that.
But you knew when Tom was around that he did it, right? I mean,
that's because Tom, for the time he was here, he was miserable every day.
Did Jack do it?
I don't know. I wasn't here. I wasn't in those meetings.
No, but I don't think
How often has Tom ever called out a player in the media in his 20-plus years of coaching?
Not often.
Not often. He doesn't
but,
do
but,
it.
But that's just it, Tony. He didn't do it often, if at all. And yet you knew he was grinding guys and ripping on guys in the back room because it got out there.
Yeah, but guess what?
Would you hear that if Gus was doing it?
Do you think Tom coaches the same way in New York he coached us?
No.
No, you can't today. It's a different locker room. It's a different player.
I agree.
You can't.
I'm defending Gus to that point, by the way. It's hard to understand.
Tell me the guys in this league, coaches, that are – you know, kick you in the rear end, put your foot up your rear end.
Belichick. And he's amended a little bit.
He has amended quite a bit. Okay, but no, I'm talking now.
Oh, Belichick.
Okay, but he's changed a lot.
Sean Payton kind of is along those lines a little bit.
And that's working. They're really good.
You're right. No, Tony, you're preaching to the choir. I don't think you have to be Bill Parcells and you know, guys like that, Ray Perkins back in the day, to name a name from somebody down the hallway.
Listen,
father, but
and you know what I love about this? All the callers were calling, they need to rip them and kick them in the rear end. And I'd love to go to their work, their job when it's going bad. And I wonder how many of them go, man, I wish my boss just shoved it right up my rear end and kicked my and just. I mean, it's funny though. That's how they want coaches to treat the players, but none of them want to be treated that way.
Well, and you know this for a fact. When I mean, you probably don't. You might not know this, but when Tony Dungy was interviewed by Tom Coughlin, I mean by Wayne Weaver, the part of the reason why he didn't hire him is because he thought he wasn't tough enough. So, and here, what's tough? Tony Dungy was a safety, a special teams gunner in the NFL. Is that, you know what I mean? What's tough?
Tony Dungy's a tough guy. Let me just tell you that right now.
Right. Of course.
And so let me. That's why it's. Anyone who else wants to call and make that comment, it's dumb. You don't know, first of all. And none of you want to be treated like that in the workplace. And and it's a different league. It's a different culture. Most guys don't respond to the way we were coached when I played.
A lot of millennials, man. They respond a different way.
Yes.
Support.
So
they're spoiled. Yeah. They're spoiled babies, the millennials.
Yeah. Listen, your job as a coach is to motivate guys to play at the highest level. And so it wouldn't be very smart. You know, if
look, Gus took over a team that was in 100% disarray. There's no other way to sugarcoat it. It was a disaster. I don't care who the coach was of that team. They weren't winning. The talent wasn't there. Now, they're in the process of building to something. It's hard to build to something when you have a lot of injuries. But this is an important year for Gus. It's an important year for the organization. You can't have 7 games, Tony, where it's 51 to 10.
I agree, Pete, and you're not going to because you're not playing the Patriots 7 more times.
Well, you can't have 35 to 10.
I don't think they will.
I don't either, but they can't.
So I just think, listen, and let me say this about the whole trust me, there's plenty of guys on the staff, and that's literally usually how it works. It's not always the head coach because guess who these guys spend more time with than anybody? Their position coach. Trust me. You don't think Doug Marrone's a tough guy? You don't think he put his size, whatever, up the rear end of the offensive line? You don't think Todd Wash is a tough guy? Come on. I mean, you don't think Jerry Sullivan gets after guys? I mean, come on, guys. I mean, it's ridiculous. I want to come to your job, and I'm going to tell your employer to just scream at you as loud as you can and call you a moron and an idiot and that you stink. And I bet you that really will make you sell more.
Well, there's also something to be said about being a self-starter. It's like the old – and we had this debate with Loggeman that one day about playing in big games. You just go play, whether it's a big game, a TV game, or a national TV game, you go play.
I agree.
That's our mentality. That's my – I mean, not just from a life and doing my job and everything else. You go do your job. Just do it. You don't need anybody telling you to do it. Go do it.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Morgan is on the west side tonight. What's up, Morgan?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing tonight?
Great. Thank you.
Tony, you know, I was your biggest fan when you played, but I got to disagree with you about Gus Bradley.
Okay. Go ahead.
You know, when you're a fan and you watch what the Jaguars have produced for the past 3 years, and then you watch this guy week after week get up in front of the media and with these same we competed, we're doing great and kumbaya, and you know that doesn't help fans that watch a product that you put.
Okay,
on
Morgan, let me ask you a question. What do you want him to say? Just tell me what you want him to say.
What about the guy in Arizona? He took over along the same time Gus took over. Look what he's did in Arizona.
Yeah, okay.
The
so
level had to be about the same.
No. Come on.
No.
Yeah. Where's Pat? Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question.
Hold on, Morgan.
Hold on. Let me ask you a question. Where's Patrick Peterson?
Okay.
I was
Patrick
asking you that.
Peterson and one other guy
one.
On the roster.
Really? Only one? Yeah, Larry Fitzgerald. He's terrible. Awful.
No, he's the agent, Tony. Come on, you know he's past his prime.
Oh yeah.
Well, they also have a veteran quarterback in Carson Palmer.
Yeah. Where's the Pro Bowl quarterback on this roster?
Okay. Yeah. But
let me ask you a question. What was Bruce Arians' record
he
after?
That guy
no.
There.
No. He didn't bring him there. The GM brought him
there.
He
wasn't there when he got there,
but
was he
didn't bring him. Come on, get your facts
but he
right.
Got him too
no,
I mean,
come
he
on.
The quarterback when Bruce
You're wrong. Let me ask you what Bruce Arians' record was when Carson Palmer got hurt.
They went to the playoffs with Ron Lindley
because,
or somebody.
Yeah, because they had the best record in football when he was healthy. He got hurt, and they were 500 ball club, if that,
listen,
afterwards.
Listen, look at his
– Go on, Mario, first of all, you haven't answered my question.
Here,
you haven't answered my question. What do you want him to say? Tell me what you want him to say at the
–
You still haven't answered the question. What do you want him to say?
When Jason Babin was here a few years ago against the Giants, I think, and he pretty much cost us the game with a personal foul call, he could have made a statement right then. Babin, you know he's not going to be here the next year. Let these guys realize, you know, who's in charge.
Oh, they know who's in charge. Morgan, you're dead wrong. They know in charge. You still haven't answered my question. What do you want him to say?
I mean,
that's what I thought. Thank you very much for the call.
I don't know what I want him to say, but
you
I
don't know. That's right. You have no idea what
he
wanted to say. So if you're going to make a comment, tell me what you want him to say. You don't know. What do you want him to get up there and say?
Tony, how about this? How about if he stepped up the podium and said, this is unacceptable. We will not play like this. This is not who we are.
Pete, he did say that. Not in the exact terms. He said, we have to get back to who we were. That's not what we did.
What he says doesn't matter anyways. Whatever comes to the podium,
it doesn't
matter. Thank
you. That's my point, Pete. It doesn't matter what he says in the media. He answers the questions. He said exactly that in his manner. He said, what we did was not us. It wasn't good enough. We have to get back to who we are. So I don't know what people want him to say.
We'll come back in a moment. Phone lines open still. One final segment of phone calls. We'll go around the National Football League a little bit later. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. The Jags are inviting all women who love the game of football to a special event. Meet Me at the 50, presented by PRI Productions, Thursday, October 15th. Features a Q&A session with Jags players and coaches. A live music, a keynote address by ESPN's Susie Colbert. Get your tickets today at jaguars.com/50. More Jaguars Monday in a moment on Jaguars Radio.
You know, I look at just missed opportunities, and not that it would change the outcome of the game, but we just didn't play up to our capabilities in some things. And I think once they see those opportunities, you know, it's a prideful group that they'll come back.
Head coach Gus Bradley on his day after press conference earlier today. Jaguars fall in Foxborough yesterday. Jaguars Monday rolls along. JP Shadrick with Tony Baselli in Jacksonville. Pete Prisco down in Fort Lauderdale.
Let me say something about Morgan and all the other callers who are frustrated. I get your frustration, man. I understand you're frustrated. No one likes losing 51-17. No one likes a losing season. No one likes, you know, that feeling, and you're frustrated. That is fine. You should be frustrated. You should be upset. I get that. But Gus Bradley getting up in the media and calling people out, or creating some perception that he's going to scream at them and isn't going to fix anything. Nothing. I mean, listen to the last soundbite. He just said it. We didn't take advantage of opportunities. We didn't make plays. What else do you want him to say? That's the fact.
Let me ask you this, Tony. If this was a veteran team and they were projected to be a 10-win team rather than maybe a 6- or 7-win team at best, would he have handled it differently today?
I don't think so. This is who Gus is. Much like, you know, that's how Pete Carroll is. It's like Tony Dungy was along those
lines.
Yeah,
they're very up. They're very up.
Yeah, and that's – I mean, listen, because I guess here's my question. I mean, if Gus or any coach gets up there and calls people out and screams and yells at the media, does that fix anything for the coming Sunday? Does that make anything? I think you can make players. It's all about making guys uncomfortable, in my opinion, when they're not doing their job. And you can do that various ways. It doesn't have to be screaming and yelling. As a coach, your job is to set what the expectations are, what the standard is, and then make sure when guys aren't meeting that, they understand that it's not good enough and that guys are uncomfortable and they want to get better. In a perfect world, you have a bunch of guys who are internally motivated and they push themselves and they're self-starters. that is not reality in any line of work, including the NFL. It doesn't work like that. That's why all of you listening out there have a boss and quotas and rules and standards. And if you don't meet them, your boss has a way, whether he's a screamer, he's positive, he points out the facts, he keeps you accountable, whatever it is, if he's a good boss, to make you uncomfortable and to push you toward a direction to get you to do your job. And Gus does that, in my opinion, very well.
Now, even you will admit this, though, and I say that because you coach Vaselli. How they respond this week will be very telling for the Jacksonville Jaguars and Coach Gus Bradley. Yes or no?
I think any time a team comes off a loss like this, how they respond is very important.
That's not a yes or no.
I just said, yeah, I agree. It's very – I mean, what do you mean by telling? Like, if they don't play well, like, fire everybody? I mean, what do you –
No, if they're like Miami Dolphins were the other day and they're lifeless and
– That's a problem.
Yeah. So from that standpoint, I don't expect them to win at Indy this week.
I do.
But from that standpoint, they got to go compete.
I think they beat the Colts this week.
Whoa.
Wow.
That's
just threw it out on the table.
That's an early week pom-pom wave.
Waving, baby. That's a double pom-pom wave.
They're going to beat the Colts this week, Tony?
Yep.
Wow. Man, I don't see what
I hope
you
so.
But that's not
what I'm hoping. Hedge the bet a little bit.
I'll say this. I think they come out and play very well this week. I really do.
I expect them to play better.
I didn't say better. I think they're going to play well this week.
Let's go.
Whether that's good enough to beat the Colts or not, we'll see.
Let's finish with three final calls. Make them quick. Bernard on the west side discussing the youth. What's up, Bernard?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing? How you doing, Coach Bracelli?
I'm great.
Future Hall of Famer. I think that this – I'm a long-time Dallas Cowboy fan. Oh. I've been in Jacksonville for about 8 years, and I'm fast becoming a Jaguar fan. And as you know, I've been living and dying with the Cowboys, but I see something going on with the Jaguars that a lot of people don't really see. This is the building of a team. Now, Coach Bradley said that there was some aggressiveness that they could have done yesterday. And that's true, because if I remember, every time that Brady has been beaten, the defense harassed him. And that's the only disappointment that I see about the game yesterday. They did not harass. He doesn't like getting hit.
Who does?
And I would have took a couple of penalties just to harass
listen
him.
Listen, that's Bernard.
Bernard, are you going to pay the fine for them as well?
Well, I mean, not an illegal hit or leading with the head or anything like that, but I would have.
Well, you got to get close enough to hit him first.
That's why if you have three steps in it, that's illegal. You can't do that.
Well,
you get fined for the late hit. You get fined for the late personal fouls.
I mean, trust me, Pete's not going to do that because that would hurt his pocketbook.
Pay the fine. That's okay, but.
Yeah, you know what? It's always funny. You know, we love the players paying the fines with their money. Just as long as it's not my money.
They make so much money. Yeah, let them pay the $50,000. Gene in Mandarin, make it quick, Gene. What's up?
Yeah, I was calling because I'm tired of these guys calling and bashing the Jaguars. Look, I'm like Phyllis in Alabama. Stop bashing the Jaguars. Half of the guys that's calling don't even go to Jaguars game, but are calling, have all these comments. What the Jags should have did, what the Jags went wrong, what players did this, what rookies did that. Look, I'm tired of that. Look, the mindset is every time you scrap on the shoulder pad, you have a chance to win, bottom line. I played ball. Tony, you played ball. Look at the Jazz when Kaufman took over. Didn't nobody take them serious. The Jazz came out and competed, point blank. All this week, this past week before the Patriots came, some guy up in New England ripped not only the Jaguars, but he ripped the city of Jacksonville. He talked about everything from the smell of Jacksonville to the restaurants being horrible to the Jags are laughing stock. He ripped us. And every commentator, nobody gave us a chance to beat the Patriots. Take a look at Jim Harbaugh when he took over the 49ers. He had them guys believing. He had a slogan going in that locker room. Who got it better than us? Nobody. You get that mindset that you go out there to compete. Tevin Smith can't play quarterback, wide receiver, or any other. But you look at that guy from the start of the game to the end. This guy never gave up. He was in almost every title. He was in almost every play. When they was getting blown up. So the mindset is, don't call the radio station complaining about the Jaguars if you're not a season ticket holder, if you don't go to the games, if you don't support the Jags. I'm tired of people bashing the Jaguars. The Jaguars will win their division, no doubt about that. They had that opportunity.
Well, this year,
we're in first place right now, Bernard. You're right.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. So we will win. So what? We lost to the Patriots.
That's right.
The Patriots right now, maybe they have a better mindset of schemes and things that they can do that's different from the Jaguars. So what?
That's right.
Bash these guys and say, oh, the world is going to end and that's people right. calling in and Jaguars suck and they need to do this and they need to do that. Enough with that. Let's get a positive mindset. Don't say that we may win the division. Don't say that we may beat the Colts. No, we need to go in there knowing that we're going to bring the wood to these guys.
Yeah.
And we're going to go in there and we're going to play ball. And we support the Jags. That's what you do. That's how you build it up. It starts from the fan base. Look at the Raiders. The Raiders now get the respect. Yeah, they got a good wide receiver from Alabama. But they get the respect now that everybody they line up against say, okay, we may or may not win this game. These are not the same Raiders from last
Gene.
Year.
All right, Coach Gene.
Baby Baselli.
We're out of time. That's a great call.
That was not short, Gene, I requested.
That was right in Tony's alley, wasn't it?
In his wheelhouse,
I bet he had a big smile on his face.
I did. I texted him. I said, make sure you call. All right, next. We got to hurry.
Final call. Greg on the west side facing the Colts this week. Greg, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Okay. And you're done. All right. Good night. Thank you, Greg.
He waited that long, and then he hung up.
I know. Listen,
I don't know what happened.
I'll say this. I got a tweet that reminded me of this, but I said it on the bus last night on back from the stadium to the airport. If at the beginning of the season, in the preseason, if you'd have said
– don't even go there
– that the Jags would be in first place in the AFC South after 3 weeks, would you have taken it?
Don't even go there.
Oh, he just went there, Pete. It's a yes or no question.
It's a yes or no question, Pete.
They would have taken it, yes.
Would you have taken it?
I don't care. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I mean,
yeah, you're first place.
You're avoiding the answer.
You control your own destiny.
If the Jaguars, players, and coaches, yes, they would.
No. You're avoiding the answer.
I'll just say this. I'll look at it, and maybe I am Captain Whatever Sunshine, or whatever it's called. I'll say this: you're in first place. Play bad. You know you can play better. You've seen it. You have a lot of injuries. That's not good. But you play in a division with a rookie quarterback who's going to make mistakes in Tennessee. A team in Houston who doesn't have a quarterback. And a Colts team that is imploding from the top down and can't protect the quarterback.
And you just lost 51-10.
Okay, that's my point, though. Listen, it's all right in front of you. Get better.
And it's right in front of them for everybody else, too.
I agree. But it's not a bad position
to
be in.
It's 1995 all over again. 4-7 to start the season. Then they all came together.
96.
A bunch of young players.
There you go, Pete. Come on. Now you're on board. Now you're tracking with me.
Jags to riches, Pete.
Two.
Jags to riches, two. We can write it together. You have to write, though, because I can't.
That would work because it could be perfect for when my story on the 96 team comes out. Which you're a big part of, Mr. Mm-hmm. Baselli.
What is that on your shirt? Oh, it's a C on your shirt. That's what it is. Captain Sunshine, Tony Baselli. We'll come back in a moment. And we'll go around the National Football League in Week 3. A lot of big stories this week. Final moments of Jaguars Monday coming up on Jaguars Radio.
That's what I'm talking about, Joe. You're doing a good job. Hey, well done. I won't scream at you anymore, Joe.
Sunshine.
I can take my foot out of your rectum now because you did a good job.
Jaguars Monday rolls along.
Those visuals are awful, by the way. So please stop saying that.
You're the one who likes it, Pete. You're the one who wants everyone to scream and call people names and say how bad they are.
No, that's not what I said,
yeah,
Tony.
Yeah, it is.
No, it is not. I didn't say.
All right, let's go around the league. Come on, we got crazy. A lot of games.
Let's look around the National Football League in week three. Ben Roethlisberger hit low. He'll miss a number of weeks with a left knee injury. Carted off, so it's Michael Vick for the immediate future.
Pencil in the Bengals as the division winners. It's done. That one's over.
What is?
Ben Roethlisberger is the Steelers. They're done.
Done?
Not done. They might still make the playoffs, but they're done to any chance to win a division, don't you think? And in week 5 weeks from now, they play the Bengals, and he might be back, might not be.
4-6, I bet he's back in four.
So that means he played in week five, in 5 weeks from now against
yes,
the Bengals?
Yes, he plays.
Okay. How many of the games do they win with
okay,
him out?
Okay, so they play Thursday night against Baltimore, who's right. not very good.
Not very good.
I think they win that game.
And then they have when Kansas I say, City. Don't they have Kansas City on the road, I think, is one of the games?
You're the national guy.
Yeah, they're it's one.
So I think they go, not looking at the schedule, my guess is, because they got, listen, they got Bell, they got a good offensive line, they got Antonio Brown.
It's Ravens at home, at Chargers, home against the Cardinals, at Chiefs. If they can get one or two of those, that'd be a big, big, big.
Two
big
and two step. Is a stretch. Right. Look at one for sure, maybe two. They're not getting three.
They're not getting three. And then they got the Bengals. In
yeah,
in
I think
November
Ben
1st.
Comes back.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Bengals, A.J. Green, 227 and two touchdowns. They rolled
He's pretty good. I heard he's pretty good.
Well, he's pretty good, and you know what? The quarterback's pretty good right now. Eight touchdown passes, one interception. And here's the thing about the quarterback yesterday. He got hit from behind, fumbled. The Ravens had no business being in the game. They look up, and they're winning 17-14, okay? So what is – in the past, that would be typical Bengals. What do they do? First play from scrimmage, he hits A.J. Green with a rifle shot for 80 yards. The Ravens go back and get another one. What's he do? Bing, 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 right down the field, throwing the football, and they win the game. Andy Dalton's playing really well
right
now.
Yeah, but, Pete, you know as well as I do, it means nothing until January.
Well, if they were 0-3, it would mean something.
No, I'm saying for Andy Dalton.
Well, he wouldn't get to January if he was 0-3. It means
you're missing
something.
The point. It doesn't mean anything for Andy Dalton and the naysayers until they win a playoff game.
The naysayers who don't realize that the first year he was a rookie on the road, the second year he's on the road, you're not supposed to win in the playoffs on the road, technically. Third year they choked, and the fourth year he was throwing to Kobe Hamilton and Rex Burkhardt as wide receivers last year in Indy. Come on, Tony.
I'm just telling you, perception.
I agree with you. I know.
Well, then why are you arguing if you agree?
Because I think you sound like one of them.
Whatever. No, I like Andy Dalton. I always have.
Okay.
I'm not saying anything negative about it. I'm saying, but no one's going to give him any credit until they win in January.
You should like Andy Dalton. He's got red hair. He's very sunshiny. Bright. Sunshiny.
Next. He's saying nay over here. Ed Hockley reportedly told Cam Newton that he wasn't old enough to get a late hit personal foul call. And the league says there's a difference between outside the pocket and inside the pocket hits. What do you think of Hockley's
Well, he said something.
Comment?
He's denying it, but everything I've heard and read, I haven't actually seen it, but they said that immediately Cam snapped and looked at him. So he obviously said something that made Cam upset.
And why would Cam make it up? That's hard to make up. Yeah. Hockley probably said it joking around, and Cam took it.
I agree. I think that's
serious.
Exactly what happened. And I don't think it's that big a deal.
No, and it's true. Tom Brady and Peyton Manning get different calls than Cam Newton does. I mean, that's the reality of it.
Yep.
It's the Jordan rules.
Speaking of Peyton Manning, they ran the pistol last night, Pete, and Denver got it done.
Coach Manning took over. You know what? Coach Manning is now 1-0, and Gary Kubiak is on the sideline watching, and it was back to what they should be doing. He became Peyton Manning again. It's foolish to have him run bootlegs and all that stuff. Put him in the shotgun and let him throw the football around.
I agree. I mean, that's one thing, Pete, and I agree 100%. Why ask? I don't believe in asking players something they can't do.
Did you see, though, Tony, they worked in a boot to the right. You know, they tried to boot him to the left a couple times.
That's a disaster.
Weeks, and he looked terrible. They booted to the right, and he almost looked just as bad. It almost makes you wonder if Peyton isn't doing that on purpose so he doesn't have to do it again.
It's not his strength.
No, terrible.
Cardinals hammered the 49ers 47-7. How good is this Cardinals team?
Cardinals are outstanding, but the 49ers are atrocious.
Well, Kaepernick was terrible. He threw two pick sixes before even looked up. It was 14-0.
You see, Thomas Sula was asked if Kaepernick's still going to be his quarterback?
Yeah.
That means he said he is, but there are other options, Blaine Gabbert.
Blaine Gabbert. I mean, could you imagine? Here's the scenario for Jacksonville. Blaine Gabbert goes in and it plays well for the 49ers and leads them to about 7-8 victories. How would that play in the city?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, Pete.
No, I don't either.
I mean, they're the worst team in the division. They might not win a division game this year.
But Arizona's good, though.
Yeah, they're very
good.
That's
a good team, and you know what?
We both of us said at the beginning of the year, if I remember correctly, they're going to win the NFC West.
And here's one of the biggest differences on that team now. The offensive line, and Yapati hasn't even played yet. The offensive line's much better.
And Carson's a good quarterback.
Really good. And they play with their foot down. I mean, but they ran the ball. I mean, you know, they had Chris Johnson ran for 120 and two touchdowns yesterday. And defensively, you know what they do? They play those five safeties because Deion Buchanan plays like a linebacker, and they run and swarm the ball. And a guy like Honey Badger is so athletic and so they're talented. That's a good football team.
Panic on the streets of South Beach. Dolphins lose again. 41-14 Bills. What's up down there,
Pete? I guess they're just not very good.
Well, here's the other thing. You get Sue, and Sue didn't do much against Jacksonville, but at times he still, like on that third and short last week, he gets the double here. Why aren't Wake and Vernon doing? And I know they're a little dinged up, but they did nothing. Olivier Vernon didn't scratch the tackle sheet. I think he had one tackle yesterday. That's a big problem for them. They're not very good on the offensive line. But more than anything, they were lifeless. You're in your home opener, and it's 80 degrees, 85 degrees out. It's a beautiful day until it started, you know, then the storm came in. But you go out there and you play hard, and you look like you care. They were lifeless. To me, that's a direct reflection of the coach.
Real quick, the rest of the division, Colts rallied over the Titans, and Houston finally got a win. What do you think of the division, Pete?
It's bad, but the Colts, because they have the best quarterback, will end up becoming the team to beat in that division. And everybody was burying the guy yesterday, and then he went, I think, 8-9 or so, 9-10 for 144 yards and two touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
Wow.
But he didn't look great early. I haven't watched it yet. I'm going
to. No, he didn't, Tony. He didn't. And the offensive line, you know that.
They're terrible.
Line
and they're old.
And they shuffled. They shuffled yesterday. They put Reitz in at right tackle. They moved Muart, the right tackle, who was better at guard, back to left guard. Took Harriman's out of the lineup. He's out of the lineup. And so they made a bunch of changes.
Monday Night Football. The Kansas City Chiefs head to Lambeau. They'll take on the Green Bay Packers. Chiefs got Peyton last week at home. Eddie Lacy and Devontae Adams back for the pack tonight. Who you got, Pete?
Oh, you're not beating the Packers in Lambeau. And it'll be interesting to see how those pass rushers for the Chiefs get after Rodgers. I saw a stat today. Rodgers hasn't thrown an interception in like 18 games at home or something. That's
it's been years, literally years.
It's
since
incredible.
He threw a pick.
Yeah, I like the Packers. I can't see the Chiefs winning that game.
Mr. Buscelli?
I hate agreeing with Pete, but Packers
you should agree
roll.
With me more, Tony. Then people wouldn't call you Captain Sunshine.
I don't want to be like you, Pete, where all I care about is myself.
Yeah, you do.
Well done, Pete. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it. Take care,
Pete
fellas.
Pete Frisco, Tony Buscelli, for Joe Fortunato and everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. Thank you for listening to Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.